Crowds haven't chased Donald Trump into a hotel nor overrun the White House like they did in the 1829 inauguration of Andrew Jackson. But the election and transition have been heated. Now the administration's got to get down to work. With some insight into the challenges beyond day one, David Eagles, director of the Center for Presidential Transition at the Partnership for Public Service. David, good to have you back.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
They do vacuum up the ballrooms and the paint dries in the Oval Office. What happens now?
Well, first of all, just an amazing day, isn't it? Here we're witnessing the largest takeover on the earth, right? The 73-day period is over and the real work begins. And so, today's going to be an interesting day. It's a day of transition. President Obama obviously moved out this morning. President-elect Trump will come in later this afternoon. But as you said, the real work begins. You've got a massive apparatus here that you're inheriting, and it will take months to get up to speed. Anything we can do to shorten that learning curve, the better off we all are.
Now, the transition period during which the president-elect selected all of the, or as many as he could, still many of them unconfirmed, cabinet members and higher-level people, when a fledgling administration comes in, it's pretty raw, isn't it? I mean, there's very few people in place.
Well, it's really interesting. When you look at it again, President-elect Trump has to make about 4,000 political appointments. 1,100 were won through the Senate, but obviously the attention's on the senior cabinet-level officials. And you're right, he's essentially named all of cabinet-level officials at this point, essentially 20 or 21 of those. He's also planning today for several hundred members of his team to begin arriving at the agencies formally as government employees. So a lot of them will begin arriving today. Some will arrive on Monday. But there's a long tail to this work as well, right? And so anything we can do to get the full team on the field as early as possible and prepared, the better off we all are. So we're going to be watching closely over the spring and even over the summer. And we feel very strongly that at least by the summer, late summer, he ought to have his top 400 to 500 Senate confirmed positions in place and prepared. That's effectively all the cabinet and sub-cabinet officials. That full team ought to be in place. He's essentially appointed all of his White House staff. They're there on the first day. That's also great news. And then the best thing here is that these incoming officials are prepared to lead in terms of crisis. They've learned how decisions are made. They've been working closely with the outgoing administration. But as these new appointees roll in, we've got to make sure they're prepared to be successful.
And what do they do first? Do they have a meeting? Do they write a memo? Do they find their way around the building? I mean, how does it work at the very basic level?
So on the White House side, there is we've always laughed when we've done interviews historically with folks entering the White House. I mean, again, they're coming in with virtually nothing. I mean, they've replaced the pictures and given them the key fobs and those types of things, but there historically have not been instruction manuals, and also the computers and hard drives have been wiped. This is though a new cycle, and these teams have been thinking about this for a while, which we're very pleased to be a part of. So they're coming in with an instruction manual, essentially. A lot of these Obama offices in the White House have prepared a lot of material. It's been very thoughtful coordination. It's been happening over the last couple of months. And then for the employees in the federal agencies, this has also been a process. President-elect Trump calls them their beachhead teams that are arriving today. And they've also been working with the agencies for the last couple of weeks, assembling the list of names. They've got to get badged and security, get the security clearances that are required. There's a lot to do, and in some cases, employees are staying over the weekend to ensure they're successful.
It sounds like one of the biggest mistakes perhaps you can make is to be too much in a hurry to get down to the policy and the order giving. I mean, if it takes another week to get to that, it might be worth getting yourself well ensconced first.
You know, you're absolutely right. Again, when you look at history, these transitions and even early administration periods are often rushed and chaotic, right? And a lot of the interviews we've had, folks have said, once you're in office, it's extremely difficult to fix that airplane while you're flying it. And so you're absolutely right. These folks have, they need to be prepared on the first day. There's a lot we're going to do as well to try to support them. I mean, again, there's very limited onboarding historically for political appointees. Often they've come in with nothing. And the more we can do to get them up to speed, particularly folks who are coming from the private sector or other places, to understand just how our budget process works and how to engage the career workforce, because again, you can have a change agenda, but there's an often quoted statement that vision without a plan for execution is hallucination, and so you've got a plan to execute, and that's that career workforce that's going to get it done.
We're speaking with David Eagles, director of the Center for Presidential Transition at the Partnership for Public Service. So how does the partnership, how does the center interact with these people, and how do you know they want to hear from you?
Well, so the good news here is we've been working closely with the Trump team for months now. We actually started with them back in the spring. We pulled them off site with the five other presidential candidates at the time, their senior campaign staff, to talk about governing the country. So I think a couple things are at play here. One is they recognize the importance of the issue. They recognize how important it is to get in and be prepared to govern on the first day. I think they also recognize there's generally more political capital up front in an administration to get things done. So they want to be as aggressive as possible to execute the mandate they were given by the public. And I'm also actually pleased that they've been very committed to these issues that are important to us, like these key enablers to their promises. So like technology and like the workforce. They've had a team focused on these type of issues. These are cross-agency issues because often these campaign promises and big decisions will span dozens of federal agencies. It's amazingly complex. And so they've been thinking a lot about this, and they've actually got a pretty strong governance process in the first day with these teams coming in today to be able to report back and see how we're doing.
Now, I've seen evidence that the career people that are there are kind of frightened about what they can and cannot do. My evidence for this is that we've had two scheduled interviews cancel because, and these are, trust me, the least controversial or politically oriented types of topics, very highly government process oriented, and yet they don't want to say anything for now because they're worried about, I guess, what the new political leadership might come in and think or feel. And so how do you make the career workforce understand that you've still got a job and you've still got to carry it out?
So I think the first thing, you're right that it can be and is a very stressful time now for the career workforce. It always is. Change is hard, particularly big change, big mandates, a team coming in that's unknown to a lot. I mean, there are certainly a lot of change management pressures at play here. But I'll say this, and again, having worked with this team for a while, they're trying to be as thoughtful as they can with how these agencies are working. They're coming in with a very aggressive agenda, and I think they recognize that the career workforce is going to get it done. I mean, this is, again, if you want to transform the way our agencies work and the way government works and to connect it more with the customers that are out there, you've got to be focused on these types of issues, and you can't ignore the workforce. And I think they recognize that. And so whereas historically often these political teams have come in, they've closed the door, because they're still figuring out what their agenda is. And the first few months in the administration, they're often thinking through their priorities and campaign promises. You know, in this case, they've done that. They've been there. They've done that. They've got a plan for the first day, and they're in execution mode. Now we're going to be watching closely. Are they opening the door to the career workforce beginning on the first day, engaging them around their vision, and collectively building a plan of execution so that we can ensure these agencies work well?
It sounds like on that first Monday coming up, if you are a political appointee, maybe a couple of dozen donuts and one of those cardboard boxes of coffee with the handle on top might be a good way to break the ice.
You know, I think that's absolutely right. And you know, our best practices there is one is just to be open and honest with them. They're going to want to hear your opinions and understand, the years of experience that you've got out there, right? Second is just to be very responsive. And, I've heard very good things from these landing teams, these teams that have been in there now for a couple of months working with the agencies, that the career workforce has been very responsive generally to the questions and needs that they have out there. And then third, just be willing partners. And I think collectively, I think it is the job of the career workforce to ensure successful execution of the agenda. And I think opening that or showing that olive branch, like you say, whether it's a cup of coffee with the handle on top or not, those are the types of things that I think are important and can ensure that we're all successful.
David Eagles is director of the Center for Presidential Transition at the Partnership for Public Service. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Find this interview and all of our transition coverage at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.